hearts, to confess our sins unto God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Burden onto the Lord, and he will sustain you.
He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Give ear to my prayer, O God.
And hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it.
It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him.
But it is you, a man, my equal. We used to take sweet counsel together.
Within God's house we walk in the throng.
But I call to God,
and the Lord will save me.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah in the 23rd chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them away from their evil way, and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, and who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, and they tell one another, even as their fathers forget my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat? Declares the Lord. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My soul longs for your salvation.
I hope in your word.
My eyes long for your promise.
I ask that you will comfort me.
For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke.
Yet I have not forgotten your statutes.
How long must your servant endure?
When will you judge those who persecute me?
The insolent have dug pitfalls for me.
They do not live according to your law.
All your commandments are sure.
They persecute me with falsehood. Help me.
They have almost made an end of me on earth.
But I have not forsaken your precepts.
In your steadfast love, give me life.
And that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
My soul longs for your salvation.
I hope in your word.
The reading from the letters to the Hebrews, from the 11th and the 12th chapter. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, who were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter-in-law, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
Mercy and peace from the Great Divider. Our text today, Luke 12, verses 46 to 56. And especially, do you think that I have come to bring peace? No, I tell you, but rather division. This is the word of the Lord. Division, by its nature, stinks. It separates. That's its job. Whether it being us saying goodbye to our high school friends when we went to different colleges together, or when we get a call saying the cancer could not be removed, or custody battles for a divorce, or a rift caused in vaccinations and COVID protocols, or someone that you love who just won't speak to you because you only believe that stupid Bible and you can't accept me for who I am. Just because Jesus said it would happen, it doesn't make it any easier, and we grieve. But he said it would happen. Verse 51, do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, division, he says. It's against everything that we've been promised. He has come to bring peace on earth, hasn't he? That's been his whole big deal. A king, a suffering servant, that's what the prophets had been preaching. The culmination of this expectation, the suffering nation of Israel was supposed to witness. Since Abraham was called out of the wilderness with a covenant to their slavery in Egypt, to the chaos in the time of the judges, to the bitter split of the kingdoms after Solomon's death, to the wicked kings of both the north and the south, and to the decimation of the peoples by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. The anointed one, the Christ, the prophesied one, the one that was supposed to bring peace. The angels themselves, his messengers, proclaimed it themselves at his birth. Peace on earth, fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah's claim was, that he was the Prince of Peace, and that of the increase of his government, and of peace there will be no end. But then again, it's exactly like Christ, isn't it? To subvert our expectations. Peace? He says, verse 49, I came to cast fire on the earth. What kind of fire? This is not a promise of peace. It's a proclamation of judgment, right? Fire burns. And the judgment will be, as promised, for everyone. Over the whole earth, as Isaiah foretold, and John the Baptist repeated him, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and nothing will be hidden from him. Nothing will remain untouched when he brings division. From now on, he says, verse 52, one house, there will be five divided, two against three, and three against two. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And we could go on, can't we? What is Jesus doing to our families? Because since Jesus appeared, as promised, everything has changed. Every household divided, and what do we make of Jesus now? Was proclaimed in your household, and those in your household that have rejected it, that's how your house is split. The revelation of Jesus Christ to save you is a refining fire, and every member of the household will either be refined or fall away like dross into the pit of ashes. He promised. For those who cling to Christ, when we see the word of the Lord bring this division into our house, we should not be surprised. But when we do see it, what are we? Grieved. heartbroken. Is it a sudden shock? Or is it years of quiet grief? Have you cried aloud to God, saying, "Spare my child from the fire"? Open the heart of my spouse to receive repentance, grace. Saying goodbye to a friend is hard. Saying goodbye in your heart is much worse. Have you given someone over completely to the Lord when there wasn't anything else for you to do? Lord, help them. You alone can save. Psalm 119, we just read, "When will you comfort me?" That's why we have to take care to get our heart and our house in order and be God-fearing Christians. This is especially why we need to see the division of the realm of Christ and the realm of the world. They don't blend. He said to the crowds, verse 54, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'The shower's coming.' And so it happens. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say there will be a scorching heat, and it happens." These signs tell us what's coming. Get the kids out of the pool, roll up the windows, take the umbrellas down. We need to see how God wants us to live in the world, but not of the world. A storm is coming. He promised it. And we're strangers here, and heaven is our home. And it gets harder to remember these signs. And when this home starts feeling like our real home, when we're told by our boss at work to call your coworker by their new chosen pronouns, it gets hard to remember when your friend announces their engagement to someone of the same sex, and we are not allowed to say congratulations. The division between the realm of God and the realm of the world, it's everywhere. And sometimes it is so sneaky and it hides in plain sight, and we still can't distinguish it unless we have the word of the Lord on our hearts and in our ears. Do you know what God calls those who cannot discern these things? What Christ says about us, he calls us hypocrites. Verse 56, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present time." The household of Eli, the priest, was broken just like this. Eli was a God-fearing man, and his sons were not. Although they were priests, they treated God with contempt, and they used their priestly duties for their own benefit and their own pleasure. And the scriptures say that Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. But Eli didn't hear it just once. It says he kept hearing. What does that tell us? It means he was slow to rebuke them. For how long was he silent while his own family was desecrating the tabernacle? If a father is unwilling to rebuke the sins of his children, those sins are on his hands. If you must rebuke, and sometimes we must, do so only out of love and make darn sure it's scriptural. But rebuke confidently and not slowly, because the pit of ashes is a very real place. God help us all. Two of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they died on the same day as a sign that their household of priests would be no more, because God was going to find someone else to do his work. Their dying was a sign to their father, to Eli, "Look what you've done, blood is on your hands." And before you speak, ask yourself, which side of the divide am I on? Is it me that needs to repent? We tend to think that it's the world that brings division. Christ says he brings it. He brings division like a drop of soap onto an oily skillet. Have you seen that? Be prepared for it. Train yourself and teach how to reject the world and follow Christ. And we do have the assurance that God can use whatever means he sees fit on his own time, under his divine providence, to save even the lowliest sinner. The one that's been out of the darkness, lost, alone the longest. The one who's most vulnerable. The wolves are howling tonight for them. For whom does your heart break? Do you have someone's name on your heart right now? I'm there too, the Lord says. You trust me now. I do miracles. And thank God for his grace. He's shown us what he can do. We've seen him do miracles. And we've seen him raise the dead. And we've seen him being raised from the dead himself and ascending into heaven. And yet we still don't understand its implications. Christ brings the fire. And the way we deal with relationships in our own lives will be brought for trial. Don't be like Eli here. Don't have your actions or your inactions show contempt for God. Do be like the one that God selected to replace Eli's sons. Be like Samuel, saying, "Here I am, for you called me." And speak, Lord, your servant is here. If and when this division comes into our lives, the very first thing on our lips should be Samuel's. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. The Lord promised division, and God keeps his promises. Families will never be the same again, but thank God he keeps his promises, because he says, "I make all things, and I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope, and I came to cast fire on the earth." What kind of fire? For those who trust in the Lord, it's a fire of grace and deliverance. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Christ will see us through, will make us new, and these divisions that keep us up at night in tears, they will be gone, and there will be no division between us and our Savior. But it doesn't come at no cost. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Because God himself experienced the most heartbreaking division of all time and space. When we say, "God, you don't know what this is like," he says, "Really?" Christ the Son screamed out of the darkness, "Where are you, Father?" And his words was like the bleating of an innocent lamb, and his Father didn't answer. Christ was up on that cross, and he didn't come down because he was thinking about the hurt that we're going through and all the pains our families experience. And he was thinking about the person that's on your heart right now. He was in the dark, the most vulnerable lamb who was attacked by wolves in the darkness without a father. And the father could not be with his son. And when our Savior died, the division that he promised the whole world would experience fell on him and him alone. He was as divided as the two halves of a sacrificed animal. God was split for you. What kind of fire? The fire of the wrath of God. Set ablaze on one man who carried his own cross up on the hill like kindling for his own fire. And he was sacrificed. Baptized, as promised, in blood. The bleating of the innocent has ceased with God's abandonment. He was torn in two so that the fire that is coming for us is the fire of grace and deliverance, and not of wrath. Never was love, dear King, like yours. Never was grief like thine. And Christ himself, who loves us, our dear King, was eager to get it done for you. He He says, verse 49, I wish that we're already kindled. He wants his kingdom to come to us. And until he died, he was in anguish. Why? Because he knew that by being split in two, never again do we have to fear about being split from him. I have a baptism to be baptized with, he says. And how great is my distress until it's accomplished. Yes, he's dreading the death, as we witnessed in his prayer at Gethsemane too. But he has the expectation of bringing glory to his Father, and in seeing your face being renewed by the fire of grace. The crowds listening to this were probably thinking about themselves and their own households, as are we. But Christ was also speaking about himself. The sword of judgment, the one that was supposed to cut the whole world in half, was cut. And it cut just one, a spotless, innocent calf. And death looked at him with his wolf-like teeth and saw a scared, vulnerable prey. But what death did not see was that it was really a lion in disguise, ready to rip out death's teeth and by dying destroy death once and for all. The Lamb is your warrior, your king, the one who died for the ones he loved so that nothing will be able to separate us from him. So, where does that leave us? Yes, grieve. Grieve for the divisions that Christ brings. But grieve excellently. Grieve in him, because we have a hope that the world does not have. We see the lost all around us. And that person in your heart right now, Christ says, I died for that one too. Amen. I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Jesus Christ and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, our fathers in the faith gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of this world. In the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, strengthen our hearts in days of division to confess in our words and lives the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you inspired your servant Jeremiah to proclaim your word amid the lies of false prophets. Arm your servants in our day with the power of your Holy Spirit to contradict the lies of the enemy, and to build up your church upon the eternal foundation of your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God Almighty, watch over our nation and all those in authority in your mercy, and replenish them by your grace, that all in power would use it according to your word, always inclining to your will and walking in your way. Grant that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who serve in the armed forces, dear Lord, especially for Anthony and Brandon, Scott, Kalisha and Tim, Jeremy, Robin, Jake and John, Dalton, Ryan, Lucia, Andrea, Megan and John, and Stephen, and Emily. Continue to protect them as they have given oaths to protect others. Shine your perfect word into their hearts, Lord, to give them the courage to trust you above all else. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, for Ed and Annette, who were united in marriage yesterday, bless them and set them up as an image of the marriage of the church with you, her heavenly bridegroom. May they delight in each other and in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, we pray for all expectant mothers, including Kristen and Kristen, Melinda and Allie, Brooke, Shayla, Alyssa, and Joel. Be with both mother and child, and keep them healthy until the day of birth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, relieve pain and grant healing to all who suffer from chronic pain or declining health. Please bless those who are unemployed, underemployed, or whose work is difficult or dangerous, with employment and sustainable incomes to help and continue to receive their daily bread. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, though Karen, Rick, and Andrea are homebound and so cannot worship face to face with their church family, give them the blessed understanding that they are truly part of your church here on earth. Give them both the connection and the spiritual sustaining that they need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, attend to the needs of all who are sick, especially to those in and near to our church that have ongoing needs, including Heather and John, Kay, John, Bobby Joe, Karina, Alyssa, Burge, Dan and Patty, Debbie, Jack and Lindsay, and Mark. Send them your healing, the comfort and endurance that they may need, as you are the provider of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Son promised division, even as he promises salvation. Lead us to treasure our baptism and the communion of the saints above all other revelations in this world, even as though we fervently pray and strive for the salvation of those we know and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our fathers, thank you for the witness and example of the saints who now rest from their labors, especially our sister Helene Schott. Grant peace, we pray, to all who mourn. As we now join the heavenly communion of the saints in this Lord's Supper, grant that we would share their faith in Christ now and to life's end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear us, for we offer these requests to you in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God,
through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake, he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law has been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
The Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and a deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life. In Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
The grace of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.